Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Snap, Lamar moving out to the left. Lamar being strung out, and Lamar flings it backhand, incomplete, and the Steelers defense has come up with a stop.
You know what that was? That was the second of the takeaways of Lamar. I don't know what Lamar was doing there.
Yeah, that one wasn't even close. No. Thank you, Steelers Radio. And the Steelers come away with a win over the Ravens. Stop me if you've heard that one before. But honestly, Perloff, there's two ways to look at this. The Ravens have got to clean things up if they really want to be a Super Bowl contender. The special teams was awful yesterday. Justin Tucker missing kicks, 47 yards, 50 yards. Those used to be automatic for him. The special teams just bad. That two-point conversion never had a prayer. And the bad penalties for the Ravens. You know, you'd like to say they deserve to win that game, and if it was not for the Tucker kicks, but I'm not sure they would have. This has been a team that's been penalized a lot throughout this season. They are not disciplined when it comes to the details.
Yeah, I'm not viewing it that way at all. I view it as they always lose this game in the exact same fashion to Mike Tomlin and the Steelers. Always. They've had eight straight games under 20 points. They cannot score against this team. He's figured out, when he does play Lamar, how to box him in. And I'm not panicking at all if I'm Baltimore, because this happens in divisional. You've seen it with your own team, the Bills. Like, yep. Certain teams just have your number. I mean, this is clearly that case. Last year, they lost same game, 17-10, to Pittsburgh, and went on to win 12 of their next 13 games. So you have no reason to panic if you're a Ravens. I'm sorry, 11 of your next 12. Like, this happens every year, and you're fine against everybody else. You just cannot beat Mike Tomlin. So, honestly, there's no takeaway for me. I know that sounds like a total cop-out, which you think I do all the time. Like, do not worry about this game. Yeah, you're 7-4. It's not ideal. But I still think the Ravens are going to be really good against every other team in the league, just not the Steelers.
Well, it's not that there's nothing here, because the Steelers now are in first place in this division, and it's like a three-way battle between the Bills, the Chiefs, and whoever in the AFC North to try to get home field advantage all the way through.
I don't mind if I'm the Ravens, if I'm coming in as a wild card this year, because they were the strong, strong favorite last year, number one seed, and totally no-showed against KC. It doesn't, honestly, like, the formula of gaining momentum at the end might not be terrible for them.
On the Steelers' side of this, they've now won 5 in a row. They're 8-2. And guys, whether you like it or not, the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender. That's it. Period. Full stop. The defense has always been good enough. And if TJ Watt is healthy, and if the defense keeps playing like this, then they are elite. And I'll give you another reason why I think the Steelers are a Super Bowl contender. They're starting to figure something out here with finding packages for Justin Fields. Now, Russell Wilson can get him almost all the way there, right? Russell Wilson with the moon balls to Pickens has been a revelation. He can throw that deep ball, and with Pickens, they've been super dangerous with that. The problem with Wilson has been in the red zone. The red zone has been tough. Now, they can run the ball well, the Steelers, but Justin Fields coming in to show a different look where he can use his legs, or maybe, I don't know if they even want him throwing any passes, but he can come in and use his legs, Perloff. The more they incorporate that, the more it gives other teams something to think about, and we're just scratching the surface on what that could possibly be. The Steelers are a Super Bowl contender.
Boy, you better knuckle up.
I feel like they were so similar to last year's team, where they win a bunch of close games against average teams and beat the Ravens. And that's, last year they were 7-4 at this time. Then they proceeded to lose games at home to Arizona and I think Chicago, is like two bottom rung teams. I just think they're winning really, really thin games, and kind of like they have over the last 3 years, where it's all defense and sort of some Tomlin magic. I do not think they have the firepower to be a real contender in the AFC. When you're talking about the Bills, you're talking about the Chiefs, they, you know, the Ravens do have this firepower, not against the Steelers, but against everybody else. I do not see them as a real Super Bowl threat. I see them as a team that we've seen the last 6 years, which is good enough to make the playoffs, not good enough to do anything there.
See, I don't, because last year, I think there was a lot of turmoil. First of all, they had to fire the offense coordinator midway through the season.
Yeah.
And you really didn't have a quarterback because Kenny Pickett couldn't be that guy, and you end up having to go to Mason Rudolph. Now, you do have a quarterback. Now, are these guys perfect? No. They're a little bit flawed, but they can fit together, I think, in a way where one guy can cover up for another guy's deficiencies and vice versa. You've got Justin Fields, who's not really great in the middle of the field. And then you've got Russell Wilson, who's great in the middle of the field, but not so great in the red zone. You do this the right way, I think you're going to have a lot of teams on their heels and pairing that again with a good defense. Now, the one thing that's going to be the toughest part of this for the Steelers is they're one of those teams that's got to play the three games in 10 days things, where you've got a game on the December 15th, then December 21st, then December 25th. And to play at the Ravens on the 21st, then turn around and host the Chiefs 4 days later is going to be tough. But the Chiefs will also have been playing this crazy schedule. So this back end of the schedule for the Steelers is rough.
But they got two Browns games.
That's true.
That's very good. And I think
next week.
And the Bengals might just sort of mail it in too. The schedule actually works out pretty well, because the early season Browns you probably wouldn't have wanted to see if you're the Steelers, but this team is done and they're not even trying anymore. So I think that they have a lot of W's here. But I don't care. They could go 13-4 and they're still not terrifying me, because honestly, is that offense scaring anybody? Is Russell Wilson, you say they have a quarterback, and I love Russ as a legacy guy, but honestly, he's not, I wouldn't say he's a top 15 quarterback now.
No, but they're, again, I think it's the combination of both guys. This was the first time we saw that, really, where you saw Justin Fields come in for a couple packages, just a couple plays, and it ended up working out quite nicely.
I mean, you're talking real conservative, like what, you might get a 7-yard run out of Justin Fields.
Okay, but this was going up, now I know the Ravens' defense isn't amazing, but it's not like you were playing the Panthers yesterday, and you got to mess around and just, you know, this was a division win to keep them atop the division. This is the second best start they've been off to under Mike Tomlin's entire tenure with the Steelers. Now, the final four games for Pittsburgh, at the Eagles, at the Ravens, Chiefs, Bengals, that's a gauntlet. We'll see if the Bengals are actually playing for anything at that point.
But. Yeah, and also, too, I don't know if the Chiefs are really... They could win all those games, but they're going to win like 19-17.
Who cares?
Because come playoff time, we've seen this with Tomlin. We saw it like every year he does this. He gets above 500 by winning all these narrow games, and then every year they do nothing in the playoffs.
Okay, but you have Mason Rudolph going to Buffalo last year in a playoff game. You are bringing a knife to a gunfight. You go in with Russell Wilson, it's a different story.
I think you just Spider-Man meme two quarterbacks.
No. No, there's definitely a better connection so far. We've
Russ
seen it.
Russ 230 yards.
George Pickens.
I bet you if you pull up Mason Rudolph's stats from last year against Russell Wilson's stats, that is a Spider-Man meme. I guarantee they're almost identical. Get the research team on this.
All right, you guys.
And also, too, like come playoffs, like you're going to double team George Pickens, and then what's Russ going to do?
It's put up and shut up time.
I think this team's a contender, and nobody wants to give them any kind of due. It's like, what does it have to be? They're off to an 8-2 start.
They're getting
this means nothing to anybody.
So the Chiefs, I'm looking at the odds right now. The Chiefs are the favorite, then the Bills, then the Ravens, then the Steelers are actually fourth. I would have thought maybe the Chargers would jump them at this point. That would be, I'd give advantage to Chargers Steelers. I would give a slight advantage to the way the Chargers are playing. It's kind of a coin toss.
Yeah, we will get there.
Yeah, it depends where the game is. You're right. If Pittsburgh can win out and get home field, that's a big deal.
And obviously the Chargers last night end up really escaping a game that they lose like 99 times out of 100, or generally 100 times out of 100, because it's called chargering. They gave up an 18-point lead, allowed the Bengals to score 21 straight points in that game, but still hung on to win. A very different ending than we're used to the Chargers. Sean is in Oregon, wants to talk about the Steelers. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, you guys. You can't diss kickers in the NFL and then not bring up the best kicker in the Steelers. And we got rocket power. That's rocket leg Roswell, brother.
He's the only one who can hit a field goal these days.
Well, the Steelers are not scared. And in fact, Steelers fans are gaining so much confidence. By the end of this year, we'll have the best defense in the league, and this team is not scared. And what Russell Wilson needs to do is quit having flashbacks of throwing that interception in the Super Bowl when he gets to the red zone. Because that's what's going on with him.
Yeah, he threw that bad interception. What was it, 3rd and 5? I mean, just really, really bad in the red zone. Hey, Sean, can I get the temperature of people in Oregon for a second? Dan Lanning goes for the fake field goal. What were you thinking?
I was thinking, no bueno. No bueno. I'm glad they won that game, because that ain't good. And then when you got a tight game, look at Tomlin. When he went for a fourth down, I no bueno. Midfield on a tight game, no bueno. And you know what I'm thinking is, if something happens to Dan Lanning and maybe he goes to one of these NFL teams, maybe Deion Sanders makes the next jump, comes to Oregon. I mean, could you imagine Deion Sanders with the glitz and glamour Oregon Ducks football uniforms?
I don't know.
Think about that, brother.
Sean, I think that might be a pipe dream. Don't you think Deion?
But Deion is a Nike guy, right?
I go big.
Yeah.
When I call shots, I don't go for these little shots, man. I go big. Go big or go home. Have a great day, you guys.
Sean, you too.
Totally in play. Is he Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
So, yeah, I think Deion certainly would be talked about with Oregon.
Yeah, do you think Dan Lanning's about to make the jump this year, though? We begged him not to
leave. Well, that was the story last week. Yeah, I mean, you know what strikes me about that Oregon-Wisconsin game? There's so much parity in college football right now. Like, it ain't like it used to be with, like, Nebraska beating everybody. Like, anybody could beat anybody with the new conference realignment. You and I, we'll discuss that actual call by Dan Lanning to do the fake field goal later on.
Yeah, just thank you, Mateo Uyungle, who came up and picked that thing.
Yeah.
I got tipped off of the out of the night sky.
Yeah. He's a tight end recruit. People might not remember that. He was supposed to play both ways. In fact, I think he still could. That guy is so good.
Clearly, he's got good hands. He's playing on the defensive line now.
Yeah.
I understand we have some breaking news. EJ, lay it on us.
Okay, so the New York Giants have decided to bench Daniel Jones, and it is now expected that Tommy DeVito will be the new starting quarterback.
Whoa,
for the New York Giants.
They're passing over Drew Locke to go straight
just
to Cutlass?
Skip right over Drew Locke to get to Tommy Cutlass.
Whoa, what, are you listening to the fan?
Wait, I thought there was a report that the Giants, I thought last week, at the end of last week I read, that the Giants don't care about the injury concern and they're going to play Daniel Jones anyway.
That was a lie, clearly.
Who reported that? I thought it was Rap Sheet or somebody big. I'll double check that.
No, listen, the reason why Daniel Jones would get benched, and this is like pseudo breaking news, is because he's got an injury guarantee for next season that would kick in. I think it's like $25 million. So if he gets hurt, you owe him all this money. Or you can not get hurt, not owe him any money.
Okay.
And you can get out of this thing scot-free and start over again with another quarterback. Manny, you're the Giants fan here. Why are they going to Tommy DeVito and not going to Drew Locke?
Oh, because they don't want to win. Simple as that.
So the tank's on.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Smart. I mean, yeah, regardless, whoever you throw in at quarterback for the New York football Giants, it's going to be tank season. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter what jersey number you're wearing. Doesn't matter what your last name is. That's just what the talent in the quarterback room is right now for the Giants. But I think, I mean, also, I am a little shocked that it's not Drew Locke, but I mean, I guess maybe they're going with DeVito because of the New Jersey storyline. I really don't know why they would go with Tommy DeVito over Drew Locke.
No, it's to lose games. I mean, that's the smartest answer I've heard.
I think DeVito is pretty close to Locke. DeVito wasn't bad. Didn't he win a couple games?
Let's hang a banner then.
last week, Joe Shane said it's going to be purely a football decision. I think people ran with that and said, oh my God, he's going to throw Daniel Jones back out there, because he said it's not about the injury issue, which it obviously was. I'm excited. I couldn't watch Drew Locke. I can watch Tommy DeVito. And the agent guy, that's something.
That makes one of us, and you're not even the Giants fan. I can't wait to put on Fox every 1 o'clock on Sundays and by 1:05 be absolutely checked out watching Red Zone.
Well, I mean, listen, if it all careens towards the number one overall pick, then you'll be happy about that. Now, it's going to be a race to the bottom. You're going to have a lot of competition here for number one.
The Giants have like the fifth overall pick. If the season ended right now, they have the fifth overall pick or sixth overall pick, and they would still lose out on one of the top three quarterbacks. It's not exactly the best quarterback class out there either.
Well, that's true, but maybe Shador Sanders. I mean, you got Deion out there who's saying he's going to have a say in where his son is going to play and Travis Hunter. Maybe Deion pulls an Archie Manning, and he tries to funnel Shador right to you. Malik Nabers, you got some dudes on defense. Everyone likes Daboll as a quarterback developer.
I think you might have to get the number one pick for Shador.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Isn't that the move? Isn't that what you just did right here? Oh, I mean, man. Daniel Jones will lose you games, but you don't want to pay him.
Do you realize how hard everybody else is tanking, too? Like, you really have to be creative.
Yeah, Jacksonville Jaguars are still alive.
Yeah, but they have a quarterback.
That's the weird thing about the standings. There are teams who really stink who probably won't draft a quarterback. So it's about really getting ahead of the Browns and the Raiders. Those are teams.
Oh, yeah, the Titans are ahead of them, too.
Yeah.
And watch out for those New York Jets as well.
Yeah, the Jets aren't going to.
Jets are a sneaky team, too, yeah.
I don't know how many W's the Panthers got on their schedule. You're right, the Giants have to be careful. But Tommy DeVito's stats are not bad last year. They're better than Drew Locke's.
There are four teams that are 2-8.
Hello, NFL.
It is crazy.
Yeah, I've got Tankathon up. So if the breaking news that Daniel Jones is getting benched, so this means Tank is officially on for the Giants, although you can't really tell anymore with them just playing versus tanking.
It's been on for about 7 years.
Jacksonville in line to get yet another number one overall pick, but they don't need a quarterback. Tennessee would be 2, Cleveland 3, the Raiders 4, and the Giants 5.
Well, there you went, all your three quarterbacks right there.
The Browns and the Raiders are really putting an effort to get that pick.
Well, you just got to try harder, Manny. Who else can you put on IR? Anyone? Sexy Dexy? Dexter Lawrence?
No, please. He's the only one that provides me any type of joy.
Yeah, but you know what? That's short term. You're thinking... You know, you got to think long here.
I think DeVito's better than Daniel Jones right now. Daniel Jones lost his confidence. He cannot hit an open guy. I mean, he's 8 feet wide on passes. It's
he's
bizarre.
Not good.
I honestly like think DeVito will probably win 2 games just for the community.
And let's go get that number 8 overall pick, baby. Woo! Thank you, Tommy Cutlet.
I can't believe his agent's now going to be back in our lives, too. That guy looks like he's wearing a costume.
It's great.
EJ, you mentioned how many that there's 5 teams that only have 2 wins. I mean, expanded out, there's 9 teams that only have 2 or 3. And one of them plays tonight, the Dallas Cowboys.
No.
Cowboys could get real serious about losing, but they can't really draft a quarterback. Can they?
No. You just gave Dak
Well, if Deion's our coach next year.
I don't know. Diana Rossini said she made some calls around the league and no decision maker has shown any interest in Deion to the NFL. I think that's because Deion keeps saying, I don't want to coach in the NFL.
I don't know. Michael Irvin said over the weekend he has a 9-point bullet plan to get Deion.
Do you believe that?
Man, the last time that Michael Irvin had a 9-point plan.
Who knows why that ended up?
Well, we got a police reporter too. 855-212-4227. I know, Manny. This was you're too young for this. You think every history started in the year 2000.
Yeah.
Michael Irvin would love you to think that.
Listen, history didn't begin until the Giants lost to the Ravens in that Super Bowl. That's when history began.
Yes, Michael Irvin would love that. If you only thought that's when history began.
You think Michael Irvin's going away? Forget that. I mean, listen. He'll get 7 more shots in major media jobs.
We're never going to lose those receipts.
I mean, he's on the sideline for every Miami game this season.
Oh, my God, I know.
He's on all fours.
He feels like he's calling plays for Miami. Like, he goes and consults with Cam Ward after every drive. What's going on there?
It's weird. And he's been wearing the same shirt every week. Now,
the hair is going crazy, too.
I know. We kind of have the same thing going. For a while, I thought this was a good luck thing, maybe. Because that image of him on those all fours was him wearing that weird long sleeve shirt. And he's worn that shirt whether it's been 95 degrees in Miami or we're playing in cold weather. He's been wearing that same shirt. So I don't know if that's a good luck thing happening.
Cold weather, 75 degrees and sunny.
Yeah, well, was he wearing it when the Hurricanes lost?
Yes, he was.
Okay, that shirt's got to go.
I'm hoping he changes the shirt. By the way, on weather, did you guys hear about Tennessee freezing on the sidelines because it was 50 degrees in Georgia?
No. Are you serious?
Their heaters broke.
Yeah.
And Laura Rutledge, shout out to Laura Rutledge. She does a serious report being like, hey, you know, the DBs and the running backs are having problems because their heater's down, and now the DBs are sitting where the running backs are, and it's going to be an issue once the running backs come off the field. And I'm sorry, shout out to Chris Fowler. He's like, are you kidding me? It's 55 degrees out here. That's cold weather for these players? They were having problems.
They're not going to do well if they get drafted to the Bills.
Wait, what team? This was not
Tennessee.
Tennessee, the Volunteers.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Yeah, not the Titans.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the Titans.
No, we're going to college football.
Yeah. I was like, wait a minute, those guys weren't doing an NFL game. Yes, I did see that with the Volunteers.
Yeah, sorry, I was totally thinking of the Titans. But the funny thing, I watched a lot of Red Zone yesterday, and there was a point in the fourth quarter where Scott Hansen goes, "Hey, let's go to Tennessee. We've only gone to them once all day." Quickly becoming the least watchable franchise.
Well, I was surprised. Everyone's like, wow, Sam Darnold had such a good day. I'm like, really? We're doing quarterback stats off of Titans wins now?
It also feels like the Titans lose by the same score every week.
Yeah.
Isn't it always 23-13 or 24-13? It's the same game every freaking week with this team.
And the Vikings are the Notre Dame of this NFL season. They're 8-2 and played nobody. And that was a shot, in case you were wondering.
This was some of their losses, 23-17, 27-17, 20-17, 24-17, 24-17. Like, it's the same score.
Ferrari Magnum LaTigra.
Then they won one game 2017.
Perlov, that's unfair to take a shot like that at Notre Dame.
Why? They're just, do you watch that Notre Dame Virginia game, another throwaway Notre Dame game?
Like college football. Not.
And then the committee's going to be like, we don't care if you play nobody, which means next year we're going to see no games. No one's ever scheduling anyone again.
No.
Specifically because of this year's Notre Dame team. They're going to be like, well, let's do what they did.
But that Notre Dame always has a tough game to begin the season. They
A&M?
Play Ohio State. They went to Texas A&M.
What has Texas A&M done since Johnny Manziel walked out that building? What is so tough about that?
Texas A&M, they already had a big win this year over LSU.
Honestly, what's the last time A&M was like really
good? They were one of the last undefeated teams in the SEC. Texas A&M, and I wouldn't be surprised if they beat Texas.
Yeah, but generally, like this strength of schedule is crazy. You have to admit.
Yes.
Because they won A&M early in the season. They got to get out of this little ACC thing they're doing.
It's not their fault that USC now stinks. They did go to A&M. They did play Ohio State. Like they, in years past, they'll take on, at least they'll make a September interesting.
They got screwed by the fact that FSU and USC are just terrible. Like that's not their fault. Like you would think those are big games.
Well, yeah, but there is luck that comes into this thing. Like, and they just got, you know, they lost to Eastern Illinois, Northern Illinois, some directional.
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois?
Yeah.
Eastern Illinois, where Sean Payton and Tony Romo went. Yeah, I mean, it is. It's just frustrating to me that there's so much garbage college football product on pretty much every channel. It's like, oh my God, Purdue's on again? What is going on? Why is Purdue on TV on the main channel?
Blame Penn State.
No. Blame Penn State. Blame anybody who plays Purdue beats them 42-7.
It's been a rough season for them. They're like literally one of the worst teams in FBS. Okay, two poll questions out there for you. Number one, are the Steelers a Super Bowl contender? Love for you to weigh in on that at 855-212-4227. They're 8-2, beat the Ravens yesterday. And then two, whatever you want for Daniel Jones getting benched for Tommy DeVito. I don't know if that's worthy of a poll. Who should be the...
How about this? Why wouldn't you put us on a poll?
How about, can we do a fill in the blank? The Giants' next quarterback should be ...
Aaron Rodgers.
Cam Ward.
I would rather not, please.
Cam Ward, oh my God.
He'll be gone. Well, the Giants really have to start losing here.
Cam Ward might be there because I don't know how the rest of the season is going to go for him. He did not look good in the last game.
He threw for 300 yards.
He holds onto the ball for an hour and a half. So are you? Is the Giants the right place to do that? Feels like a disaster waiting
to
happen.
No, I can tell you that right now. That offensive line hasn't been good for 15 years.
That is true. 855-212-4227. A lot more college football coming back. We got the breaking news that Daniel Jones has been benched.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff. I was almost late because got caught up in a what do the Giants need in the draft conversation. And the funny thing is, if you look at all these teams in the top 10.
With who?
Everybody out in the newsroom. Oh. The funny thing is, all 10 teams, not that, they need everything. The Giants need everything. The Browns need everything. The Jags need everything. Like everybody,
what about the Raiders?
The Raiders have like 17 needs. This is going to be, if you want to do a mock draft based on needs, you're in trouble because there's so many bad teams right now. And the bad teams feel really bad this year. Like, not like they're like one or two players away. They feel like, oh my God, these franchises are disasters.
Well, the reason why you brought that up is because we had some breaking news this morning that Daniel Jones is expected to be benched. He's got a big injury guarantee obviously the Giants don't want to be on the hook for next year. And they're going to bypass the backup to go straight to the third stringer. You may remember Tommy Cutlets is now going to be back in your life. So buy a fedora and hang on to it.
Yeah, I don't think this is a tanking move to get a higher pick. I think this is at all costs avoid paying Daniel Jones next year move. Like, it's not really about losing. Because Daniel Jones has been terrible this season. No, he could do the losing.
But you just laid it out.
I think DeVito will probably play better than Jones.
Yeah, but they're probably worried the backup, Drew Lock. They paid him $5 million, I think, to come in and be the backup, and they don't want him to mess around and win a game. I mean, he beat your Eagles last year in a memorable way.
Oh, no, they are. The benching part is for the guarantee. The DeVito part is the tank.
DeVito's numbers are way better than Drew Lock's last year. Last year he was good.
Then why do they pay Drew Lock to be the backup?
Well, I think they really wanted to compete with Jones, and they pretty quickly found out, like, with this particular offense, Drew Lock is not going to do anything.
By the way, I think this news is going to get old fast because I bet we have more breaking news coming today, if I were to guess.
Ooh, I know where you're going.
Yeah, I mean,
a firing?
Yeah, Ian Rappaport had reported yesterday that the entire Jaguars organization is really feeling, I think the quote was, impending doom around the building. That's not what you want. and everyone's going to be out. If the firing happens, it's going to be Doug Peterson, and it's going to be the GM, Trent Baalke, who are both going to be out. So what do? They went and had one of the worst losses in franchise history yesterday to the Detroit Lions.
I mean, it looked like Alabama was playing Fordham.
Mercer. Ouch. Bogus just got a sideswipe there.
I'm sorry. Did you see Fordham on Saturday?
They did, actually.
Georgetown's butt, and they made the play of the weekend.
In football, they beat Georgetown? Georgetown has a football team?
They do. Every year they play football.
I saw Georgetown get destroyed.
They got uniforms and everything.
They do.
They stunk up the joint against Notre Dame in basketball.
That did happen.
Yeah.
Nothing going right for Georgetown these days.
No.
Hey, can I admit one internet stalking thing that I did? You posted a photo of a basketball game you did with this woman who was like, I felt like she looked very familiar. I went to her Instagram.
Yes.
And she's got this picture with her and Dua Lipa, like BFFs.
Oh, big fan
also
of Dua Lipa.
Really cool with Sarah Kustak.
Really good friends with Sarah Kustak. Yeah.
Yeah, I also
who's
did this stalking.
A trailblazer. So I'm not alone here. Sorry, Bogus. It wasn't your Instagram I was stalking. It was this attractive blonde that you were doing the game with.
That is Adonna Thacky, a former Fordham player who's now on the games with us. I don't know the Dua Lipa thing. I know the Kustak thing very well because I tried to ingratiate myself with Sarah last year mentioning Adonna's name and it got me nowhere. that's more on me than on them. But I'm glad you guys are internet friends now.
I mean, maybe you get a follow back. I don't know. We'll see.
I got to do more Dua Lipa digging.
This could be great stuff if you have a game that's a blowout. So how'd you become friends with Dua Lipa?
Yeah, I need information.
I'd stick around. Kevin is in Oregon, wants to talk about the 49ers. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
We're doing great. You panicked.
Oh, good, good. You asked about, I'm a 49er fan. I have been for a long time. Actually, my first quarterback was John Brody, so I've been through some thin times. But you asked how 49ers fans feel about the state of the team, and I think I can sum it up by saying I can't wait for baseball season.
Oh, man.
Wait, who's your team in baseball? The Giants?
Giants, San Francisco Giants. Yeah. I mean, they're terrible, too, but at least there's always hope at the beginning of the season. You know, I mean, they usually don't fall out of contention till the end of May.
Dude, why do you root for the Warriors?
I wasn't really into basketball until I moved to Oregon, so I've always been a Trailblazer fan. Of course, I moved here the year after they won the championship in 77, so it hasn't worked out too well with them either.
See, Kevin, maybe it's you.
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Hey, listen, I'm an Oregon Duck fan, too, and I got to tell you, I have a bad feeling about the Ducks. I don't think they're going to – if they make it to the championship, they're not going to win it. That's because I'm rooting for them. Maybe it is me.
Hey, Kevin, we don't have to go through the whole self-loathing thing. It's the 49ers are 5-5. I get it. It's not good, but you don't have to throw the Oregon Ducks in the mix.
I don't know. They always disappoint me. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm still going to root for them. I'm not like Perloff. I'm not a bandwagon guy.
Well, it sounds like you should be. You're waiting for baseball season? It's November.
I can't wait for baseball season because the 49ers are just I can't stand to watch them anymore.
Well, Kevin, they're ripping your heart out. That's why. I mean, I totally understand. Yeah. And thank you for the phone call. And we'll see what the Giants get a meeting with Juan Soto. But the thing is, the 49ers, I mean, yes, they did a lot of winning in the 90s. I understand that. You've had a lot of great times. And you have made Super Bowls in Kyle Shanahan's era.
Yeah.
But you want to talk about gut-wrenching, heartbreaking losses. They're starting to add up. You got two Super Bowls. You were leading in the fourth quarter.
Mm-hmm.
You've got every single time you've played a division opponent this season, you've lost with 2 minutes or under 2 minutes left in the game. I mean, after a while, that stuff will get to you.
Pain.
Now, I'm not sure that's how the Niners feel about this season. Like, I think they're just very disappointed how injured they are and how poorly they're playing. Honestly, they should be killing these teams. If they had their full arsenal. What other team? You lose a $30 million receiver in Brandon Ayuk. Your most expensive running back in the league is out for most of the season.
Yeah.
Your star tight end is out. That's predictable. I keep telling you.
First round pick got shot in broad daylight. Thankfully fine.
Debo Samuel hit the wall. There's no doubt about it. He cannot get around the edge. He's just too slow right now. And that's your best receiver is Juwan Jennings, who luckily you paid $15 million for two seasons. He was their lifeline yesterday. If Juwan Jennings wasn't on the field, I don't know what would have happened to the Niners yesterday.
To be honest, I think that if it was just about the injuries, it wouldn't even feel this dire. But it was about the offseason, was filled with drama and contract holdouts and all of that. And then it's just bled into the year. Let's get to Bogish, who's got headlines for us. Hello.
Hello again. These headlines are sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Protect your family, your phone, your furry friends with life electronic device and pet health insurance. Bogish. So just to recap, Tommy Cutlets and his agent from Boardwalk Empire are back. The Giants reportedly benching Daniel Jones for Tommy DeVito. Big Blue is big bad, but this move again is most likely about avoiding that injury guarantee that could keep Jones around for another year. The Giants come back from their bye Sunday to host the Bucks.
Please don't.
If Evan McPherson makes a kick or two, maybe it's same old Chargers this morning. The Bolts blew a 27-6 third quarter lead on the Bengals on Sunday Night Football, but J.K. Dobbins scored in a 29-yard run with 18 seconds left, and a Hail Mary was broken up at the goal line. So L.A. got the W, 34-27. Head coach Jim Harbaugh.
I've been having this feeling really since the beginning, back in April, May, June. That we got the right guys at the right time, and that's all a coach can ask for.
Different feelings in the Bengal locker room after another failed comeback. Here's Jamar Chase.
I don't call plays, of course, you know, so I can't really do nothing.
You think that's part of the finishing factor is plays stuff?
I don't know.
Chase caught two of Joe Burrow's three touchdown passes last night. Their Bengals are 4-7 overall, 1-6 in one score games.
I don't get that quote at all.
Me
not
either.
Even for 1 second. First of all, if anything went wrong, they should have run the ball more last night. Like, they threw to Chase a million times, and he came up small, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I mean, was the question more about the beginning of the game to be down 27-6? So the end
was
fine.
That's a good point. I don't know what he's talking about, really. 13 targets. It's a lot of targets. All they do is throw the ball. I don't totally understand why they didn't run. The Chargers, according to the broadcast, their one weakness is the run defense. So, bizarre thing to say. Like, that whole thing. Who is the guy? Trey Wingo said bad vibes. Bad vibes throughout. I blame T. Higgins and I blame Jamar Chase now. Those are the two guys. Not Burrow. He can do no wrong. He dresses in a pantsuit.
By the way, smart move by Burrow not wearing that thing to the post game.
Just show up in a t-shirt, dude. That could not be done.
Yeah.
You can't show up in a light blue blousey thing. What was that?
Well, I thought he was going powder blue as kind of a troll maybe to the Chargers because that's really their color. But he showed up. He was rocking it was definitely a pantsuit, although that's just called a suit for men.
Right.
But I think
but
the way the buttons were.
Top.
But the way the buttons were. I honestly.
Kind of like a waiter, but it was blue.
Yeah.
It was cropped. It was weird.
Yeah, it was cropped. It looked like something you would find in the ladies department. But to be honest, maybe it's just like way too fashion forward for people like us.
He looked like Hillary Clinton with with a lot of bling.
The blonde tips too. She kind of had that.
So I didn't see him last night, but have you guys already mentioned Mac Hollins today? How he showed up for the Bills game yesterday?
Love it.
Well,
love
first
it.
Of all, Mac never wears
shoeless?
Shoes.
Yeah, probably. No shoes.
No, he was wearing some weird construction worker vest and no shirt.
Of course he was.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that guy?
What's right about that guy? Everything. And he's playing really well.
Big catch for him yesterday at one point, and he's doing a lot of good blocking. Big Mac Hollins fan over here.
The Niners, by the way, have lost division games, three of them, after leading in the fourth quarter. After yesterday's 2019 home loss to the Seahawks, Geno Smith ran for the winning points with 12 seconds left. Seattle scoring both of its touchdowns after Nick Bosa left the game with hip and oblique issues. Mac Hollins and those Bills giving the Chiefs their first loss since last Christmas, 30-21 in Buffalo. That's six straight wins for the Bills. It's a five-game run for the Steelers after denying the Ravens 18-16. Baltimore's loss included 12 penalties, three turnovers, and two missed Justin Tucker field goals. The 2016 Warriors, the 93 Rockets, the 49 Washington Capitals, and now the 2024 Cavaliers, the only four teams in NBA history to win their first 15 games. Cleveland down Charlotte last night, 128-114. Darius Garland, 25 points and 12 assists, as Donovan Mitchell took the night off. James Harden passed Ray Allen for the second most threes in NBA history in the Clippers' 116-105 win over the Jazz. and the Mavs held off the Thunder 121-119. OKC missing a three at the buzzer after trailing by eight with less than a minute to go. Wisconsin football canned OC Phil Longo yesterday. The Badgers had just 3 points and 88 yards in the second half of Saturday's loss to Oregon. They are 97th in the country in scoring this season. And the Wayne Gretzky chase heated up even more last night.
As Vegas will attack, Cronus, they turn it over to him, ahead to Ovechkin. He's got the empty net and he's got it! It's a hat trick for Alex Ovechkin!
John Walton on Caps Radio, three goals and a 5-2 win in Vegas. 866 career goals now, so Ovechkin needs just 29 to pass Gretzky for the most ever. Guys, back to you.
I mean, we did not think this was going to happen this season.
No. Pretty big deal.
To have a three-goal night, a couple more of those, and we're, I mean, the watch is already on, but now we're really getting close, right?
Do you talk about,
go ahead.
I was going to say, we talk about LeBron being the ageless one. I mean, Ovechkin doing this at his age is crazy.
Yeah. Isn't Jagr playing somewhere now, by the way?
Yeah, the Czech Republic or something.
No, he really is. He's playing overseas.
He's
so
actually about to fight Mike Tyson as well.
Yeah. This is so weird to me, though. Just like a guy like I would never. It's one of those records like Jerry Rice's receiving yards and Wayne Gretzky's scoring record. This feels off, right? No, I'm not blaming anyone. I'm just feeling like that is something that does not seem right.
It didn't seem like mathematically possible for anyone the way the game was played for so long. I mean, when Gretzky was in the 80s, those were like 9-goal games between two. Like the scoring was out of this world. And it hasn't been in the NHL for a long time, but here's Ovechkin just plugging away. And now this is going to happen. Like unless he has some kind of catastrophic fall off, this is going to happen. And it's crazy.
How are people feeling about this, too? Because I don't know if people want to see Wayne get taken off the mountain.
He's on this pedestal. You're right. I totally agree. This is going to rub some people the wrong way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think outside hockey knows this yet or has feelings for it yet. It's still that far away. Mm. But, and Ovechkin is kind of a weird character to a certain extent, too. So there's that kind of in the conversation. So I don't know. I don't know what it's going to be like when we get there and we're literally like officially on the watch, but I feel like the real reaction has not happened yet either way.
Everyone's in denial.
I think Jerry Rice is safe though. He's at 22,895. The closest active player is DeAndre Hopkins at 12,700.
Yeah. But if they keep adding games, report over the weekend that it's going to go to 18 regular season, 2 preseason. I mean,
more Jet games. Yay.
Oh, God. More Rodgers. More Tommy DeVito. More Browns.
This is not good.
More Raiders.
Yay, NFL.
More illegal men downfield penalties.
At least they stopped calling the illegal formation. I was about
to called it yesterday.
Brick through my TV. Which one?
Titans lost a touchdown.
Six of them, yeah.
The illegal man downfield is the one that they should just get rid of. Nobody cares.
I don't even totally understand it. I hate to sound like I don't know football, but like, is it that big a deal if a guy blocks 3 yards downfield instead of 2?
I don't get it. Yeah, most of the time, those players have nothing to do with the play. Like, the Ravens had a huge play on the last drive. They got pulled back because of illegal man downfield.
That was an actual engaged block. He wasn't even just like running downfield. He was blocking a guy.
Yeah, he fell down. He happened to get up, and he was 2 yards down the
field.
He was
just wandering.
Like, flag. Yeah.
He wasn't even in the play.
It's get rid of it. Nobody cares about illegal man down the field.
Let's start a petition. 855-212-4227. Bokes, thanks so much. We still have our college football report card to do from the weekend, our M&P 500. So much on tap. Don't move. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. What a weekend. We'll get to our college football report card in just a moment. But Josh is in Philadelphia, wants to give his take on the Tyson Paul fight and also John Jones beating Stipe Miocic. Oh, back-to-back combat sports nights. What's up, Josh?
Good morning, Mrs. Gray. Good morning, Mr. Perloff. How are you guys?
Great. How you doing?
Yeah, I know you guys don't really talk MMA and boxing. I just want quick on a Tyson fight. I thought it was as boring as I thought it was going to be. I thought it was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to the John Jones, I think he really cemented his legacy as being like the greatest fighter of all time, even though he has a lot of like steroid accusations and other things. I was just wondering what you guys think, like, UFC, MMA would have to do to become a true, like, mainstream, that you guys would, like, talk about it daily or weekly. I was just wondering your thoughts on that.
Listen, you know, you can go ahead, Pearl.
My observation is I have a lot of friends who are UFC fans. UFC fans tend to be in their own little silo that is different. Like, I have a lot of friends who don't like NBA and NFL but love UFC. Fight sports is just a different vibe, and they just go in different lanes where I think, you know, MLB, NFL, MLB, college football, they all kind of work together. I feel like UFC's in a different lane and just has a different apparatus behind it. So I don't know if it would ever be mainstream like NFL. It'll always have loyalists, and it's doing great. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. I just don't think it'll ever be the number one primary sport.
Listen, I mean, if you listen to some other show, Jim Rome will lead a show with MMA constantly. You know, he has Dana White on all the time. Zach Gelb has Dana White on. I always thought Dana was actually in some ways, not a gatekeeper, but it was kind of hard sometimes to take him totally seriously as a commissioner of a sport. But again, or president, whatever he is. But, you know, listen, they've got this big deal with ESPN. I think if it's really just about who's on top in terms of their fighters and how and whether they have some big rivalries going. Because when it was Conor and when he was fighting, when Ronda was fighting, when John Jones was in his prime, I think they were as mainstream as it was going to get.
Feels like they're missing a crossover star right now.
Probably.
But I do.
And John Jones can't be that guy.
No. You know,
I love him. He's from my hometown, but he's hard to love because he's always one step away from doing something pretty bad.
They do have a pretty huge advocate right now for the league/sport that I think maybe could change things in President-elect Trump.
Yeah.
I'm being real about that. Like, he loves going to these fights. Yeah. He's there all the time. All the guys are shouting him out during their wins last night.
Dana, Joe Rogan, right. These are huge supporters.
Yeah, so, I mean, no, this guy, you know, is about to be president of the United States again, right? So if he's going to continue to be, you know, the guy in office who's going into these matches supporting the sport, maybe that brings it to that level. I don't know. But it feels like they need a guy in the ring, or a woman, because I agree. When it was Ronda and Conor ruling the sport, I did feel like those felt like megastars. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I see a megastar in UFC right now.
I think the sport's a bit technical for all fans. Like, actually, if you actually watch a fight, it's like, wait, you know, it's not quite boxing. It's just a little more.
I see that.
Yeah, I just feel like I've been to a few,
yeah.
And it's great and it's entertaining. There's a lot of hype around it. But actually, I think it's a little easier to watch, like, Georgia-Alabama for a casual fan to me.
I don't know. I'm not casting an aversion here. It just, if you have a little bit of bloodlust, like if you like watching people fight, then I think it's very accessible. And to be fair, because, you know, Dana controls the entire sport, you're going to get the matchups that you want. Exactly. And if you've got a little of that, and again, I'm not judging anybody, then I think you'll like it even if you don't know the rear naked choke versus the blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but I mean, you think it's going to, like, I think the caller was asking if it's going to challenge, like, the Super Bowl or something. Is it going to be, like, a 1A sport? I'd be surprised if it was. You know, I'd be surprised if it was, like, getting the, I know they, wait, how big is their TV deal? Like, didn't the NBA just do a $30 billion TV deal? Maybe UFC will be fine, but I just don't think it's going to be the primary thing.
KJ's in Milwaukee. Quickly, KJ, you want to weigh in on the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I feel like as long as you have an elite defense like the Pittsburgh Steelers have,
yeah,
a running game, and you have a serviceable quarterback, and Russell Wilson, actually two serviceable quarterbacks, you have a chance. You got a kicker, you know, anything can happen. Crazy,
and you have a good coach.
Happen, right?
And you have a good coach.
And you have a good coach.
KJ, yeah. I'm with
granted,
you.
He hasn't had a lot of success in the playoffs recently, but he's a great coach.
You got a kicker. I mean, you got a kicker? Is that where we're at with the Steelers? We're talking about, like, the Chiefs. The Chiefs are in this conference. Your Buffalo Bills. Chris Boswell is a difference maker over Patrick Mahomes.
Harrison Bucker on IR. Tyler Bass missed an extra point yesterday. Justin Tucker missed two field goals. Yeah, having a kicker. Evan McPherson missing field goals. It's carnage when it comes to kickers.